This is the old switcher. We're talking about Moulin Rouge today. That's all you need to know, really. My question for you is, what's your favorite song performed by Austin Butler?
I only know the one. Hound Dog.
Oh, I see. By you? Elvis.
By Elvis.
Yeah.
Does Austin Butler have his own music?
No. Just the Elvis.
Just the Elvis.
Yeah. Mm. That was my only question for you about Elvis. My next question is...
Did you rewatch Elvis or something?
It's Baz Luhrmann.
Oh, okay.
My next question is not a question at all. I don't know why I've said that multiple times. I watched Australia.
Okay.
By Baz Luhrmann. So now I've seen all of Baz Luhrmann's movies.
Wow.
There's only six.
Mm-hmm.
But now I can say with confidence, I had to watch Australia so that I could tell you and not be lying that Moulin Rouge is my least favorite.
Movie.
By Baz Luhrmann.
Okay. See, after you mentioned that you had watched it, I was like, oh, I vaguely remember you telling... Like, when you mentioned it was Baz Luhrmann, I was like, I remember you, like, talking about it, but, like, not that deeply. Why is it your least favorite?
So the lack of plot really troubles me.
Okay, yeah.
That's my main issue with it.
Yeah.
So before we went, so first of all, we saw Moulin Rouge live in person. We didn't do a half-half split thing, like in a, we saw it in real life.
Uh-huh. We did do a half-half split.
We did. Can you explain it?
Wait, let me start with, okay, I'm gonna save what I thought Moulin Rouge was.
Please.
This one's on me. I didn't give you a choice. I didn't even think about you saying you've seen Moulin Rouge. I just saw it's in town. I'm free that night. Tickets aren't that expensive. I think it would be funny if we did a switcheroo where we switch at intermission at a musical.
That is funny.
And I just saw Moulin Rouge. I saw the opportunity and I said, we're going. I didn't discuss it. I didn't really give you a choice. I didn't ask you if you've seen it. I just said, we're going to do this.
And what'd you think it was?
You know the song Lady Marmalade?
Yeah.
Lady Marmalade? Marmalade with like Pink, Christina Aguilera, Lil' Kim.
And Maya. Mm-hmm.
I knew that song. So I thought Moulin Rouge was about, like, just, like, these four, like, strong women, burlesque ladies who, like, don't take shit from anybody. And they were just, like, doing their thing and, like, doing their career. And, like, they didn't care what anybody said.
That, okay, see, actually, this is a really great thing you're illustrating here. So it would be like if someone heard that Doja Cat Vegas song going into Elvis and thought it was about Doja Cat.
Yeah.
The difference is, and what makes Moulin Rouge hard for me, is that it's one of his movies that doesn't have, like, an existing thing for him to play with. Like, he also does Great Gatsby, he does Romeo and Juliet, mm-hmm. He does... What did we just say? Elvis. These are all stories that exist that he can play with, and he does a good job playing with them.
Right.
But Moulin Rouge, Strictly Ballroom, and Australia were his stories. And then of those
Moulin
ones,
Rouge is his story?
Sure, if you want to call it a story. And then he's playing with the idea of this cabaret that does exist in France.
Uh-huh.
And he's telling this story about, like, a cabaret dancer.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of when I said I don't remember any of the characters' names, but I remember who dies before we went to see it?
I thought it was going to be, like, someone, like, maybe, like, a lighting fixture fell on her, or, like, she got shot, or something like that. Like, I thought it was going to be, like, a really dramatic...
No, I mean, it's just the only woman dies.
Right.
That's why you don't need to know whose name is what.
Right.
Because I think Baz Luhrmann hates women.
Yeah, I was confused about the lack of women because, again, I thought it was going to be about specifically four women. And I thought I was going to be able to be like, oh, this was Pink. But that's not what happened.
Nope.
At all.
I wish...
I also thought... Sorry, go ahead. Because then we're just going to get...
I don't understand why they didn't let... It was so empty in there. I don't understand how, like, they sold that... Or tried to sell that many tickets to this show.
It's been on for, like, a week.
Right, but, like, why'd they have it for that many days?
I think that's just how they do Broadway.
I guess, yeah. Didn't we see it on a Friday?
We saw it on a Friday night, which would be, like, prime time. Yeah, so we bought one ticket, and then I went to the box office, picked it up.
The ticket that is the backmost, leftmost seat in the entire building. And the entire Benidorm.
I was scared. I wanted to make sure we could, like, easily
it,
find it.
It was easy to find, and also no seat near it was taken. No. However, it was probably worth saving the $10 or whatever. If either of us had really wanted to, we could have probably moved down, like, fucking 15 rows.
Yeah. We're on the back, the far back left of the balcony, seat 69. Okay. Nobody around us.
No.
Which honestly made it more obvious. Like, if someone was paying attention, and, like, they could obviously see that you and I were not the same person.
Yeah. Except they weren't. And they're all, like, volunteer. And I had the first half since Alexis bought the ticket. It made more sense if they did want to get weird and petty in the second half and be like, you're not the same person.
Right.
Then at least since Alexis bought the ticket, she would have proof that it was her ticket. What happened in the first half of the show... when I was there, is not her business at that point. Mm-hmm. I would be gone in the wind by that point.
Mm-hmm. So you went into the first half.
I did. The Benidorm's beautiful. I love it there.
It's a great theater.
I stopped and looked at the merch. I was like, I should get merch. And then I didn't, thank God. And I sort of sat there forever because it didn't start on time. And that was making me
mad.
We
were kind of late, too.
Yeah.
We were kind of pretty close.
I realized about the switcheroo thing that I'm so much less invested when I know I'm only watching half. Like, why do I hate everything that we've watched for this show so far? And I was like, because I'm not even thinking about what's eventually going to happen to these people. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to get a lay of the land, and then that's it. And then the opposite is true. For the second half, it's the same problem. It's like, I don't know who these people are. I don't care about them.
Right. I just got to figure out
who they are. The story sucks.
Has it ruined your watching experience?
No, because we're not watching anything I would give a shit about. So, yeah, I've definitely fucking seen Moulin Rouge. I realized as soon as the curtains came up that I couldn't tell you what happens in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it, like, 2 years ago, max. And it's, the reason that I can't remember much is because it's just mashups and medleys. That's the whole point. Is, mm-hmm. like, fun dance numbers with mashups and medleys of all kinds of contemporary music. Now, the movie came out in 2001. And they added a butt ton of stuff. 2001? 2006? They've added... No, it has to be 2001. Pink?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably, like, maybe, like, 2000.
No, it is 2001 because I remember at intermission thinking this is the worst thing that happened that year.
So the actual... Wait. So the movie that Moulin Rouge... Moulin Rouge is a movie first.
Moulin Rouge is a cabaret in France.
Okay.
And it's a building that right. puts on
okay,
theater.
That's just... But...
But it's not the, a story or a play
right.
or something.
So, like, the movie itself was its first iteration of it being, like, a screenplay.
Yeah. And then in, like, 2017 or something, they turned it into a musical.
Wow, that is not what I thought.
It's not, like, an...
I thought the movie with the pink song... Okay, I knew it was, like, a cabaret. I thought then there was, like, a musical... In, like, the 90s or something. And then they made the Moulin Rouge movie based on the musical.
What was I going to look up here? There was information about the Moulin Rouge in the program, including it was originally opened October 6th, 1889. That's the day we saw it.
Oh, shit.
Isn't that fun?
That's actually really funny.
Baz Luhrmann, who loves playing with music and historical sites and stories, decided it would be super fun to set a jukebox musical in this fucking cabaret. Sorry, I'm a little bit mad at Baz Luhrmann for this
whole thing.
Well, because people like it so much. I think I was mad at myself for being a hater. Mm-hmm. But it's like this guy from Ohio goes to France. His name is Christian. And he wants to be a successful composer. He's told that he needs to meet and speak to Satine. He buddies up with this Argentinian guy and this black guy,
mm-hmm.
and the three of them are trying to get his composition on the ballot to be what they're performing at the Moulin Rouge because he's so good. He's from Lima, Ohio, but he's a genius at musicals.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to figure out, like, these two other guys that he's working with want a successful show, and they're dicking around trying to sing lines, and they sing the fucking, the Christian busts through the door, and he starts singing, "The hills are alive with the sound of music," which is also true in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Also, sorry, the stage opens up with, like, cabaret dancers doing Lady Marmalade.
Okay.
And then we cut to, we're doing Christian's story. The set was really cool. It was like this giant heart-shaped thing in the first half.
Yeah.
With like a giant window, all pretty much taking place at the cabaret. What gets me about it is that I like jukebox musicals and stuff. Like, I like Glee. I like Rock of Ages. Like, mm-hmm. I like shit like this, but I like it when it's funny.
Yeah, I like it when, I like musicals when there's, like, a story to it, and then they break into song and dance.
This felt to me like the joke was that the person was singing every time.
Yeah.
And everyone was delighted.
Yeah, every time I gasped, because I just wasn't expecting any of what was happening,
mm-hmm.
and I would be like, oh my god, I can't believe they're doing this, in, like, not really a good way.
Yeah.
Everyone else in the theater was laughing.
Yeah. Because they would start singing, like, "And we'll never be royals." And right. then everyone was like, oh, I know that song.
Right.
So that, what I wanted to say about the hills are alive with sound of music thing, that's pretty much where the resemblance in songs to the movie stopped, because they just apparently got access to a fuckload of new music.
Yeah.
Since the movie came out. And the story, I can give it to you in probably a couple sentences of the first half, is that the composer guy is trying to seduce Satine, both as, like, a performer for his show, but also as, like, a potential lover. Meanwhile, she's mistaking him for this great duke that's supposed to be coming through the same day, who's supposed to, like, she's supposed to fall in love with him. She's been, they very casually mention that she has been, like, turning tricks for her dad. Like, her dad's been pimping her out since she was, like, 13.
Right.
Casual. Super casual. Yeah. It's just part of her life. Nothing to see here. And now she's like, part of my life to continue is that I have to just marry this duke. And that's what my life looks like. Oops. And Christian's like, but you can be with me, this lowly man from Ohio, instead. And then they kiss, and then it's intermission. And it took so long for them to say all that because they sang every song anyone's ever heard in the meantime.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk any about questions? Any of those songs? No. I just found a set list that's in order.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. It took me a long time to get where I started.
Yeah, because they certainly do a lot, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
One that really stuck out to me was We Are Young.
Mm-hmm.
It hit me like a million bricks that song really is such a staple of its time. Like, it is so important to culture in that year. Like, I just can't even believe. They did a bunch of different songs that had the word diamonds in it.
Yeah.
Just a mashup. So that was where Royals came in. There's also Sia.
You had Sia in yours?
I think.
I had Sia in mine.
Oh, they did a little bit of Such Great Heights. That was pretty upsetting.
That sounds really upsetting.
They did a couple lines of Never Gonna Give You Up by...
That's, like, stupid.
They did that a Rickroll. Point... And then all the 45-year-olds in the crowd were like, ha 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 ha.
No, that, like, they actually, when I read that one, I was like, that's ridiculous. Like, you're just making a joke of this at this point.
But that's the entire joke, this joke that we've all seen and made to other people millions of times, literally. Mm-hmm. That's not a good joke.
It's not a good joke.
Oh, there was a really long, they really harped on Shut Up and Dance With Me.
That's really
That bizarre. Went on and on. That was one of the, like, backbone ones of the first half that they kept circling back to.
That's really upsetting.
Another, like, backbone one was Your Song by Elton John. I think that was maybe in the movie as well.
Which one?
Your Song by Elton John.
It seemed like a big deal.
They have that in your half, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one seems important. Yeah, so those are some of the... I realized that it was going to be new music when they did Single Ladies.
Yeah, that sounds bad.
And, like, all the cabaret dancers went into Single Ladies.
Uh-huh.
I'm not in defense of Baz Luhrmann as, like, I think he's a little bit of a misogynist and a little bit of a racist, uh-huh. based on just his movies, but I am in defense of his use of music in movies, and I like it, and I like the way that he mixes things together. I love The Great Gatsby. I love Romeo and Juliet. Moulin Rouge does not hit the same.
So in the movie,
it's like this.
It's like this, but with whatever made sense at that time.
Yep.
Interesting.
What confused me is that the title is a Moulin Rouge, right? So we're paying homage to this cabaret in France. Mm-hmm. We are not currently in France. We're in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. We're not even shooting it in France because we're in Pittsburgh, and now it's on a stage instead of on a screen.
Right.
And then on top of that, the story isn't even that French.
No, it's not at all.
It's a guy from Ohio.
Which is close to Pittsburgh.
Way closer to Pittsburgh than Paris. So I just didn't understand what was left. It's like, how am I supposed to believe this is a Moulin Rouge when absolutely every part... And then the music isn't even cabaret music. It's current pop music.
Yeah.
Every aspect of the Moulin Rouge is completely missing. Mm-hmm. So then I left at intermission. Actually, there was like one point where I was kind of having fun for like half a second. I was like trying to think of like, you know what? I bet that I could like sneak back in. Like, yeah. I bet I could talk to a person on the way out and be like, I lost my ticket, but I really need to run to my car. Please let me back in. Like, I was like, I could probably come. And then meanwhile, if I was like, quote unquote, running to my car, you could go in with your ticket. Yeah. And then I could be like, hey, it's me again. Please remember. I was planning all this out. And then I don't even remember what song. Probably Shut Up and Dance with Me. I was like, no, I would love to leave this building. I like actually don't want to be here. I can't wait till intermission. I need to leave this building.
Did you leave before intermission?
No.
How was Heroes by David Bowie?
That was one that was just like two lines. There was another David Bowie song that they did more lines of. I don't remember which. I did see Heroes in the program before it started and got nervous because that's the song from Perks of Being a Wallflower. Uh-huh. But it was fine. It was like a two-liner.
That makes sense. Shut Up and Dance is just so stupid. Well, like four Diamond songs in a row.
Yeah, they did like a whole Diamond thing. Do you know what it sounded like? And I wish I didn't think of this so early on. Do you remember that viral video, Axis of Awesome, four chords song?
Yeah.
Those comedy guys. It's these comedy guys that put together like
all the songs that have like the four. Yeah.
That's what this sounds like when you're listening to it. It literally sounds like those exact guys are doing it. Maybe it's cheapened by the fact that like I can open TikTok at any point and watch weird mashups. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need a musical for this at all. This is so something that's so easily accessible. Like, mm-hmm. I could go do this. Mashups this much?
No, this is ridiculous.
But then, like, also, if the plot was doing something...
That's the thing, is that there's no plot. The plot was, like, 10 minutes. It was, like, an email.
It could have been an email. And then the rest is just dancing in your car.
Like, So, when I went to the Benidorm, I saw the Alanis Morissette show, which is, like, a show that they wrote about her Jagged Little Pill album.
Weirdly similar, considering all the variety of things that plays at the Benidorm.
Right. But it was... They made a whole story, like, just on her album, you can't just put that into a musical and just expect it to make sense. They made a whole storyline, they had a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it was probably, like, 50-50 between people talking and having conversations with each other, mm-hmm. like, different subplots, and then, like, them singing Alanis Morissette songs. And it was fun. And then when they would introduce a new song... It was funny because of, like, the way that they would introduce, like, ironic coming on.
But there has to be a setup and a punchline, not right. just,
and like... then in the middle of songs, they would, like, do, like, stop, like, a break of something, make a joke that makes sense in the storyline and in this song.
It's clever.
And then they'd continue going.
Yeah.
And then they'd have, like, powerful moments that are, like, nice to watch on stage.
This was, like, and it was cool to see, like, live performances, but mm-hmm. I'd rather see a live performer doing something.
Is it supposed to feel like you're at the cabaret?
Maybe. I think. But then I don't... they're, like, modern cabaret is Lady Marmalade. Haha.
Right.
But, like, whatever.
Oh, so, okay, if you're just wanting me to make me feel like I'm at the cabaret, don't put in this weird story.
If it was, like, just straight mashups.
Right. And if it's just, like, a touring Broadway, like, touring musical cabaret.
I mean, people did like the movie, but also I think some people were lying about liking the movie. So I don't know why they thought the musical would be that successful. Like, apparently it's somewhat successful.
It sounds really bad as a movie. I can't imagine this, like, on a TV.
It's a really taxing movie. It's got, what's her name, the Australian one?
Nicole Kidman. That's all I got.
We were talking about her yesterday, but I don't
know. Nicole Kidman.
Okay, great.
She's Satine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then I got in.
What'd you do for the while I was in there?
Oh, right. So I, while you were in there, I got a couple snacks. I was hungry. Mm-hmm. Got a sour pickle and a meat stick. Okay. And a Pop-Tart.
Great.
I didn't eat the pickle. And then I went to a beer store. And I was going to get a slush, but there was a really long line, and everybody ahead of me got a slush, so that took, like, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And by that point, I wasn't interested in a slush. So I got a hard Arizona iced tea, which was literally the best hard iced tea I've ever had. You know how hard iced teas are usually, like, really sweet and gross? And, like,
really sweet, yeah.
It just tasted like Arizona tea, and, like, you kind of taste alcohol.
That's all anyone wants.
That's all I want.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be so sweet that you can't taste the alcohol, but it just tastes, like, sweet.
No, it's hard to drink.
It was delicious. So I had one of those, hung out for a little while, and then I started walking towards the Benidorm, and I was like, I don't know when intermission's going to get out. I really had to pee, and I wanted another drink. So I went to a sports bar nearby and sat down.
Did you sit at the bar?
Yes.
Which part of the bar?
Kind of to the middle right.
Okay.
I ordered a double shot of Jim Beam and a Blue Moon. While I was in there, they, like, served me, I closed out, and then this, like, group of, like, really drunk people walked in, and, like, the bar back went up to the bartender and said, don't serve that girl in that group. She's hammered. And that girl, like, literally was, like, swaying. Like, she couldn't even look at the bartender, she couldn't even sit down. Those drunk guys just kind of, like, mumbled at her, at the bartender for a few minutes, and, like, a couple of them were able to get a drink order in. And then eventually some of the guys, like, escorted that girl out, and the other two guys just, like, stayed there and were like, we'll close out, I guess. And then next to me was this, like, there was, like, a hockey game on, and there was this pretty drunk old man regular there who was drinking some, like, weird cocktail.
They had framed Penguins jerseys on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
So it must be a hockey bar.
Yeah. And the guy next to me was wearing a Penguins uniform. Huh. He was just talking in, like, Pittsburgh talk, you know what I mean? The whole time. And he kept, like, I don't know how he kept ordering. He was just stumbling his whole way through, but he kept ordering. The bartender was talking about how she was from Ohio and how so many regulars are from her hometown in Ohio. And the drunk regular was like, well, that's not surprising. Everybody wants to get to Pittsburgh. It's the greatest town in the world. Which I really liked. And then... Then there was this, like, new drunk regular who was, like, a younger guy sitting next to the older guy. And he introduced himself, and he complimented the regular, like, personally, and said, I love how Pittsburgh has baseball and hockey. But he looked at him like it was his doing. Yep. Then I went and peed. And then I made my way to the Benidorm.
Nice. Yeah, also coming out of the Benidorm at intermission, I really had to pee. And I was like, I'll just hit the men's room before it gets crowded because it won't even get that full because it's a men's room.
Right.
Nope, it had a line immediately and it looked weird in there, so I didn't even touch it.
No.
And then the women's line was 800 people long.
Right. It's Moulin Rouge.
Yeah, that's a pass for me on both lines.
Yeah. So I walked in, made it. Cleared it, no problem at all.
No one cared.
Literally nobody cared.
Did they even look at your ticket? I need to know this.
They did, yes.
Yeah, I thought so.
And they, like, read it. The guy ahead of me, though, who walked through the security thing, something went off in his pocket and they pulled him aside.
What do you have in there? A laptop?
I don't know. But then I get to my seat, find it pretty easily. And as I'm walking up towards my seat, I'm walking past some people and I hear someone say, I heard people talking about how it compares to the original and how they added in modern songs. So I was like, wonder what that means. And then,
wouldn't you like to know?
Let's see.
It's funny.
Oh, this is when I started to know things were a little fishy. During intermission, I just hit the switch. That song was playing.
That's weird.
That is and weird. I was like, that's not what I was expecting. So, like, that caught my attention. Also, there was a girl in the same row as us, but it was, like, different sections. And she, every time I looked over, she was staring at me. I think she, like, was like, that is literally not the same person. Also, Susie has short blonde hair right now, and I have long brown hair.
Right. So, otherwise, even if nothing else tipped you off, like,
right,
that's gonna do it.
That we both wore black long sleeves and jeans.
Yeah, which is, like, inconspicuous.
Yeah. And then it started. Right when it started, they did Bad Romance. So I was like, okay.
I don't know what this is.
Literally don't know
what
this is.
It ended on Satine and Christian, like, kissing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was Satine and Christian.
Wait, sorry, can I say one more thing before you get into it? I thought the sets were really pretty.
It looked very cool.
It looks
cool. It was cool. Well, it was, like, also, like, nobody was, like, a bad performer or anything.
No. Boz Luhrmann's good at things really that make, that look cool. I think he struggles with creating his own stories. He's really good at making other stuff look cool.
So they were singing to each other. Bad Romance goes into a medley. Bad Romance played basically all the way through. And then it goes into a medley of Tainted Love, Seven Nation Army, Toxic by Britney Spears. Mm-hmm. Sweet Dreams Are Made of These, which was, they haven't spoken at this point.
That's, okay, sorry, I know.
Like, I don't know, what if someone only caught the second half? I have no idea what's going on. And then they sang a song called Come What May, which the original is Nicole Kidman, so I guess it's like an original from the movie, Moana, which was what I thought was happening. I was like, okay, I've never heard this song before. I'm also...
Vienna, do you want to answer the door? That's fine. We can have Dan, our sound guy, edit it.
I thought it was all original.
Because when you saw Elvis, Austin Butler did a performance of Hound Dog, so you were thinking, same thing. Mm-hmm. They're going to do it original.
Right.
Austin Butler's original Hound Dog is what I'm referring to. Go on.
Okay. So then they talk a little. There's this Christian guy, or this guy named Christian, I should say.
So Christian. He wanted her to convert.
There's Satine. They're, like, rehearsing a show.
Christian's Which might be The Sound of Music.
And Christian's in love with this girl. Satine's, like, they're, like, seeing each other secretly for a while. And then there's, like, the guy who's putting the play together who's trying to fall in love with Satine. Mm-hmm. And there's just kind of like that back and forth over and over. Also, we eventually find out that Satine is sick. She's going to die. Well, I knew she was going to die.
So did I.
And so it's just the same back. Like, there's not even, it's not even that I wasn't paying attention. It's just that there's not that much. It's, that's all it really was. There was this song that played that I remember it being like an old school, like an older, like song, like rap song. It says it's called Mr. Big Stuff. And then we got the entirety of Only Girl in the World by Rihanna.
Performed by Satine?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've always wanted to see. This character I know nothing about that I don't care about. Sing a song.
Yeah. And then they played... Let's see here. Oh, no. Yeah, I tried to write down as many songs as I could. Because I just couldn't believe any of this was happening. Oh, they did Chandelier by Sia. Almost in its entirety. And it also, that was, it looked really cool. Like, they did a great, like, routine to it.
Sure.
At some point, like, Christian just started, like, drinking pretty heavily. Okay. And then they sang this song. From a
chandelier. Did he swing on the chandelier?
No. But they, he would, like, got up on some chairs and stuff.
Oh, because he's drunk.
Right. And it's like, the 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, drink. You know that song.
Uh-huh.
That one was pretty much in its entirety as well. And then eventually they're, like, on the stage, like, rehearsing. And Satine is like, I don't love you. I love Christian. And she, like, comes out and, like, says it. And, like, that guy's pissed. And then him and Christian are fighting. everybody gets kind of separated at some point. They sang Crazy by...
Outkast?
No.
Oh, thank God.
Did you get an Outkast song?
I don't think so.
I got an Outkast song later. They sang Crazy by CeeLo Green.
Crazy! Oh, that's what I was thinking of. My bad. It's not Outkast. It's CeeLo Green. That is the song I was thinking of.
They did that. Medleyed into Roxanne.
Sorry to hear that.
Played a lot of Roxanne. And then eventually they got to Our Song again. This is like while Satine's dying, they sing Our Song again.
Do they say how she dies?
She's sick. She has like, I don't remember exactly what
if
she's sick
I didn't look it up because I was hoping you would know what she died of. I feel like she dies of AIDS.
Let's see. I don't remember them saying exactly what she had. Yeah, they kind of just, like, go back and forth for a long time about being in love with each other. Satine's illness worsens. All it says is her illness. And she, like, continues to go on stage, and they're like, no, you're sick, you shouldn't. And then she's like, no, I have to. Christian, like, keeps bringing out these, like, prop guns.
Why? Just to point them at people?
Yeah.
Like, they're not real guns in the right. show either, right?
As Satine performs, Christian enters and asks her to face him as he turns the gun his way. Right, so then he's, like, pointing the gun at himself, and she starts singing Our Song to him. To, like, stop him from killing himself. It's like Baz Luhrmann was like, okay, what happens in Romeo and Juliet? But I gotta mix it with something else.
Seems like a weird move.
Yeah, Satine dies in Christian's arms.
And that's it?
Yeah, and then everybody starts... Like, she dies, they do, like, a routine when they, like, carry her off the stage. Christian's just sitting there crying. And then they do a more medleys of songs. In the more medleys of songs, I wasn't sure if it were songs that had played in your half, because then they also played some songs that were in my half. But they played some Outkast. They played Hey Ya. Oh, I forgot. They did a whole Rolling in the Deep. Pretty much the whole song. That one, it was hard. And then, and their ending medley, they did Hey Ya, Don't You Want Me, Rhythm of the Night. They did a little bit of Lady Marmalade. They did any song you can imagine, to be quite honest.
I wish I knew, like, why this was put together this way. Like, I wish there was a good reason for it. A nice, understandable reason.
I did something illegal.
Did you take a video?
Yeah!
There's no way that's necessary.
It's just obnoxious. It's right, not even...
If it was truly a jukebox musical, okay, wait, Mamma Mia, the Alanis Morissette thing you've seen, good pieces of art.
Mm-hmm.
They tell a story built around this one musician. Rock of Ages, it's a bunch of musicians, but they're all from the same decade, and the story takes place in that decade.
Right.
Glee is all over the place, but it's very self-aware about how messy it is.
Right.
If you're going to be that messy, you got to know you're that messy. You can't be like, and I'm an old school cabaret.
Yeah, and also, it's really the lack of story. Like, this is what's wrong. Also, this is why people don't like musicals, because they're like, why are you just singing stuff? Like, the point of a musical that makes a musical good is that you're singing and it's part of the story.
If you're going to sing that much, it better be a story that mm-hmm. you're telling
Or, like,
me.
Even, like, Les Mis, like, the movie, or, like, the actual musical, it's all sung.
Yeah,
but it's true. A story.
They're telling you a story. But since this isn't music written for this story, it's right. music written for everything else. And it's music that people know really well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, unless the commentary is that old school cabaret in France is just as messy as turning on any radio. If that's the story, then that's a really sent home loud and clear. There's no reason for Satine to die. It felt no. like a, just like a re- like we needed to, something to happen in this movie, and we forgot to do something.
Right. Right. And he was like, well, when we did Romeo and Juliet.
I mean, Baz Luhrmann always just kills a woman for no reason.
They should have made Christian die and then made Satine sad.
Yeah, and then she could be like,
I made a motivated
to get out of poverty or something.
Right.
I don't fucking know.
What'd you do while I was there?
Went for a walk. Thought about peeing by some scaffolding. It was the same, like, scaffolding that I peed by when we saw Morgan Wallen.
Uh-huh.
There's too many cars around. It was really risky, so I didn't do it. And then I went to Redbeard's, which is the sports bar that you went to, and just to get the same experience. But I don't think I got the same experience. I got... The bartender ignored me for a really long time, and I felt like I had done something wrong. And finally, he asked me what I wanted. I told him a Blue Moon. And that's what you got, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't get a double shot of Jim Beam because I just felt gross.
You don't have to.
And the people right next to me was...
A man served you?
Yeah.
That guy didn't serve anybody while I was there. He was just, like, stacking cups.
There was also a guy, like, there was a bar back as well. So huh. He was also a man.
Interesting.
Yeah, this was a guy. And pretty much everyone at the bar was, like, some guy that was watching hockey.
Yeah.
And then this group of... like four people that to me looked 19 came in and ordered really weird drinks, and then we're talking about how hard it is working in the service industry.
Jesus.
I thought it was breathtaking, and I tried really hard not to listen to them, so I kind of just like read the program over and over again, because I also hit my pen pretty hard, and then I was like, well, what does this program say? Does it have the plot in it? And I flipped through cover to cover no less than 5 times, reading every word on every page. So I was like, I must be missing where it lays out what happens.
Right.
Every musical, every play has...
It has a...
Act 1, Act 2, Act 3, here's what's happening. Mm-hmm. It's like, this has to be in here. Like, legally, probably, right? The FDA of musicals has to be, yeah, like, put the fucking accent... Nope.
Nope.
Apparently it's not required if you don't have a plot. But at least you didn't pay full price for a ticket.
Yeah, if we would have, can you imagine if we had both been sitting in there, we would have left.
It just, like, got so boring. And it's a musical, so you can't sing along. There's so many things that's, like, just is, like, doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
The whole setup of it doesn't work.
Yeah. And you're right, it's just because it's not the original, like, there's not anything original to
it. Why are there any original songs in it? Also, I would feel better about it, kind of, if even at the beginning they were, like, oh, we all got cursed to speak in musical or something.
Yeah.
we all forgot how to speak normally, and we have to sing radio songs like Bumblebee from Transformers.
Right.
Nothing like that. There's no setup like that. It's just like, this is how this is.
Right. Or like, believe even it. If they were, if like Christian was like, I'm just going to go be by myself. And then he puts on like fucking headphones and listens to Crazy or something. But instead...
Right, there's not... It's never like that. It's just, these are the words they're saying, as if it's Les Mis.
Right.
But the words have nothing to do with anything.
Having Lord in it is so stupid. All of it. To Rickroll...
They did
just
Rickroll.
Make it like, oh, so you're not taking this seriously.
So you don't care.
Like, you actually... This is a joke to you.
Yeah.
It's crazy that this is going to cities for weeks at a time. For a week at a time. Revolutionary to what? I'd rather see the Kite Runner. I think the Kite Runner has a story.
I had to watch Australia just so I could say confidently, I do personally dislike this the most. And on top of that, I think it's objectively the weirdest use of music in any Baz Luhrmann production. In 2002, they did a made-for-TV movie of... I see. As part of the 2002 made-for-TV movie, It's a Very Muppet Christmas Movie. They did a Christmas-themed parody called Moulin Scrooge, and Miss Piggy plays Satine, but her name is Saltine.
Now that I like.
That's funny.
That's funny.
Christian is played by Kermit, and the other guy is played by Gonzo.
That's hilarious.
That's funny. That's comedy. Okay, Moulin Rouge 1928 film. What is that? In this one, let's see. This looks like that's a totally different movie. Moulin Rouge 1952 film. Sorry, what did you find about the novel? What does it say?
I didn't find anything about the novel. I just...
I don't know enough about Broadway. I'm wondering if maybe, like, weird Broadway people have a reason to like it. Because I'll never understand what weird Broadway people are up to.
No.
Yeah, I think there's... Maybe there's just some stuff that's only for the weird Broadway people. And not for the public.
Right. Like, it's just... I would think Mulan... Or, like, Broadway people... Maybe they like that it's different.
Right.
They're like, this isn't, like, your average musical.
And, like, it being a real place is not enough to work with. Like, that's the only information about the quote-unquote story that's in the program, is this, like, timeline of the actual Moulin Rouge.
Right.
Which is cool information, especially because we apparently went on the same day, but, like, I just don't... It's not a real story, and it has nothing to do with what we're watching. Like, so close to nothing to do with what we're watching. In the 1930s, the ballroom was transformed into the most ultra-modern nightclub of the time. Okay, so that's maybe what the point is. It's an ultra-modern nightclub now.
Oh.
Also, it's got enough time. Like, it's not that it's, like, an 80-minute production altogether. Like, they've right. got they have plenty
time to,
of time.
They don't have to do every song.
They could have chatted a little bit. There was, like, a sad-ish cutaway to one of the other guys that was putting on the musical that we saw, like, a whole scene where he was singing. I don't remember what he was singing. It was something quiet or...
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that's pretty much the only time I can think of that it wasn't just, like, them at the Moulin Rouge where someone's in love with someone.
Right. And someone else not in love.
Yeah. Also, I googled it and Satine just dies of consumption. So, yeah, we don't really know.
She just dies of what?
Consumption.
What does that mean?
It's like what happens when you have tuberculosis, but it's not tuberculosis no. exclusive.
Yeah, it just, I just remember him.
So yeah, do you wish that you had seen the other half?
No. I don't think I needed to. I think I got the gist of it.
Do you own a radio with a soft rock station? You'll be all right.
Yeah. You? Do you wish you had seen Satine die?
No, I'm glad I didn't.
If there was, like, if you like Moulin Rouge, you'll love this. Would there be something?
Like, if you like Moulin Rouge, you'll love being trapped in a room with only a speaker. Where someone else has the power to change the music. You're not allowed to sing.
Wow, one of the it is considered to be one of the best films of the 2000s and of all time.
Hmm.
It ranked 53rd in BBC's 2016 poll of the 100 greatest films of the 21st century.
It's funny, it ranked number 6 on my list of Baz Luhrmann movies that I can watch, so. It's too bad we won't get another one for a while, because we just got Elvis.
Another Baz Luhrmann movie.
Yeah. All right. Fuck, marry, kill. Satine, Christian, and looks like Toulouse is the next one that shows up. Who is that?
I think he's the other.
The Duke.
Yeah.
Okay, Satine, Christian, and the Duke.
I'm killing Christian. I'll fuck. Oh, sorry, bud. I'll fuck the Duke, marry Satine. I won't have to marry her for long, you know?
I was gonna say, fuck Satine, marry the Duke, kill Christian. Because the Duke has money, and also Satine doesn't want to marry me. She wants to marry a rich guy. Mm-hmm. And Christian's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
And I never even. I thought his elevator pitch for his production was bad. As far as I know, it was just mashups.
Yeah, it sounds bad.
All right. But it was... I mean, I had fun overall.
Yeah.
It was a fun time.
Right.
To do the whole thing.
Right.
I just don't think Moulin Rouge is for me.
Right.
I know it's not for you.
You know it's not for me?
Yeah.
Why?
For every reason you've just stated for the past 60 full minutes.
Not interested. I mean, we'll do I'll do another musical.
Oh, yeah, it was
I'll
fun.
I'll do another Switch.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Especially for something that's, like, you don't really need to see the whole thing anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Like the
it was actually kind of perfect for like not needing to see the whole thing.
Right. Also, I was just like, I wanted to see if we could do it. Like, do they still let people out to smoke during intermission? Was like,
I honestly wasn't sure. Yeah. Or like, was there like a side balcony?
Right. That's what I was worried about.
Yeah. Like I got nervous that there would be no re-entry and then I'd have to like figure that out.
Or but then I'd have to watch the second Pittsburgh. Half. Right.
Yeah. Oh my God, you would have loved it. At intermission, when I was waiting for you, I had to cross the street because the like area right outside of the doors was just like 12 55-year-old women.
Smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
I love that.
With like bob haircuts.
I can picture them perfectly.
Yeah.
Dressed up for Moulin Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, they're like, oh, thank God it's intermission.
And they were talking about, oh my God, they added so many songs.
Like, yeah. Yeah, since 2001, yeah.
They did. They did add a lot of songs. Didn't you know We Are Young came out?
And Shut Up and Dance. Shut Up and Dance, that is bananas. Can you imagine when they went up to that band and said, hey, can we use your song for
Moulin Rouge? Like, most of the other ones are like, these are some of the biggest performers. They are like hallmarks of the time. Like, Royals by Lorde is a huge song.
Right. And it makes sense if they're, like, doing their whole diamond, like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's funny, but, like, I get it.
Yeah.
But Shut Up and Dance!
Also, what... Sorry, one more note on Bozlerman. What has this man globe-trotting? Why can't... He is, like, Australian. And he's like, you know what story needs to be told again? The Great Gatsby. This, like, hallmark of America. Do you know what story needs to be told? Moulin Rouge of France. Like, what has... I just don't get it.
Yeah.
There's a, like, he also is always touching on class issues, but not in any way that, like, helps anybody. He's just like, there's a class divide in every place on this planet. If that's all he's trying to say, I've heard it. I get it.
Well, I always forget that's what he's look like. What he looks like.
That is a snappy Wikipedia photo. He's wearing pearls.
Yeah. And like, what, like a silk shirt?
Yeah.
Moulin Rouge is the third of the Red Curtain trilogy. It's just after Strictly Ballroom and Romeo and Juliet.
There's only three in the trilogy.
Right, and he like, to think that he's closing it out.
With this insane production. Yeah. I also don't get how a William Shakespeare thing made it into his his trilogy. Because isn't Strictly Ballroom his story?
I think so.
So, like, and that's a good movie.
Each film contained a theater motif that reappears throughout the film. Dance is used in the first film, poetry and language in the second, and song in the third. That's fucking stupid. He just put three movies in a box set.
Yeah, that's called a box set, bud. Strictly Ballroom. Oh, I remember the Zack and Cody episode. Loosely Ballroom. Remember that?